Gilad Shalit was abducted and held captive by Hamas for 5 long, torturous years before his release in October of 2011. Last Thursday, Gilad Shalit, a sports reporter for Yediot Aharonot, covered the NBA Finals as the Miami Heat beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. For those who did not know Shalit at the game, he looked like a regular, skinny reporter munching on popcorn. But as his co-worker, Eric Hennig, put it, passerbyers are hypnotized by him, as if something melts inside them when they see him in the flesh and blood, eating a chocolate mousse. Slowly and surely, Gilad is coming back to life. A young man who endured 1,941 days underground is step by step attempting to touch the sunlight. As writer David Whitley puts it, 7 days after he was abducted, Miami won the NBA title. Shalit didn't hear a word about it. He was in a basement somewhere in Gaza. But now, living one of his dreams, Shalit is a sports editor. The scars and nightmares of his trauma undoubtedly remain. How can they not? But Shalit is showing the world, showing us. He is trying to live despite the competing emotions that fester within. Fear and acceptance, sorrow and anger, joy and love, uncertainty and hope. Emotions struggling side by side, insecurity raging against confidence, grief pushing happiness, sadness creeping beside contentment. Whether we have lost a loved one, experienced a break in a relationship, or encountered some kind of trauma or another, we all must face the question of how we live each and every day of our lives when we too are engaged in such ferocious battles. This internal struggle is the war we see in this week's parsha. Moses, the man who leads B'nai Israel out of the bondage of slavery and into the lights of freedom, the man who stood upon Har Sinai to receive our sacred Torah, well, this Moses comes to an emotional crossroad. His sister Miriam dies in the wilderness. And unexpectedly, we see a different Moses, a distraught, frustrated brother who lashes out at God and his people and unleashes a previously unseen rage. The Talmud says, when a prophet loses his temper, his gift of prophecy abandons him. And because of that anger, that spite, that grief, God does the unthinkable. God forbids Moses to enter the promised land. Our faith teaches us that the way we overcome the emotions attached with struggle is by trying just a little more each and every day. Meaning, with the rising sun, we take a moment to say to ourselves, today, I will choose life. Jewish law gives us the following philosophical exercise. When both a wedding and a funeral procession cross an intersection at the same time, which procession has the right of way? One might expect the answer to be the funeral, because we obviously give respect and honor to the dead, and therefore the funeral should proceed. But no, the answer is exactly the opposite. Instead, we open up the path for the wedding procession. Because when we are faced with the oppositions of life and death, of hope and heartache, of light and darkness, Judaism is crystal clear. We must try every day to reach for life, to grasp for hope, and to feel the light. We do not deny that the other emotions are there, that they're present. Certainly, how does one erase sorrow after a tragedy? Our pain cannot be masked or ignored. But just as one must lift their eyes in order to recognize that wedding procession before them and to let it pass, we too must lift our eyes beyond our own wreckage and recognize our joys and blessings if we too wish to experience them. Dr. David Pelkovitz, professor of education and philosophy at Yeshiva University, cites a Talmudic discussion to explain two different ways of coping with our emotions, one being preferable over the other. Mishle says, anxiety in the heart of man weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Rav Ami and Rav Asi engage in a dispute over this statement. Rav Ami says one should banish anxiety from their mind altogether, erasing the emotion. But Rav Asi says no. Let him discuss his anxiety with others. Dr. Pelkovitz clarifies Rav Asi's statement. One may never be able to banish anxiety or fear or hatred or fill in the blank. But if we are willing to step forward, acknowledge that stress, and choose to join the living, soon we will begin to feel another emotion. We begin to let comfort in. If we wish to move forward, Judaism asks us to try harder, realizing that our pain may subsist, but the opportunity to heal, well, that too sits within our reach. We are taught that during the week of a holiday, a chag, women may wail and cry, but they are not allowed to wring their hands in sorrow. Meaning, our tradition reminds us that although pain and loss and tragedy exists in each of our lives in different ways, our cups of grief should be diluted by the joys that life provides. We can walk through life wringing our hands, or we can attempt to lift up our eyes, seeing majesty and miracle, choosing to join the living. If we let it, our hearts will be torn in two. If we let it, our hearts will be strengthened by helping to take those shattered pieces and allowing them to find each other. Let us take a moment and see that wedding procession. Let us take a moment to name our joys. Let us take a moment and together choose life. Shabbat Shalom.